Welcome, everyone, to the Abundance Formula Podcast. My name is Gina Oldham, practitioner of prosthetics and orthotics, fitness expert, business owner, lifestyle entrepreneur, and four-time national bikini competitor. This podcast was created to empower people to build abundant lives for themselves, lives that are purposeful, fruitful, and send a ripple effect through the world. From short motivational segments to game-changing conversations with highly successful and abundant people, be ready to learn the formula of common actions, thought patterns, and principles that create abundant living. Whether it be your mindset, health, business, or relationships, the Abundance Formula has what you need to uplevel your life to the one you're called to live. So here we go. Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for choosing to listen to the show today. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to make sure and introduce you all to one of the key sponsors of the Abundance Formula event. And it's actually headed up by our girl, Whitney Weiser Savage, who you all know and love. She's been on the podcast a couple different times. And so her company, Her Style, which is the women's division of MindStyle for all things related to women empowerment. MindStyle is short for mindset, lifestyle, and it's an event-based lifestyle brand and personal development company that incorporates mindset elements into all of their events. So they emphasize a life in balance and specialize in creating moments that transcend an individual's experience in order to change their mindset. So you can truly change your life by changing your mindset, which we all know, and this happens to also be their mantra. So Her Style initiative is to uplift and connect women worldwide by promoting positivity, self-love, leadership, and personal development. They have an upcoming event, which is in Belize, and I'm so excited because I'm actually going to be a speaker and coach there in Belize for this event, so I hope to see you all there. It's from January 23 to 28, and this retreat is titled Building Influence in Belize, and it will focus on the importance of knowing yourself, defining your identity, and bringing your personal brand into alignment with the vision you have for your life. So Her Style is so amazing. Make sure you follow them on Instagram at Her Style. And make sure you're following Whitney Weiser Savage as well, because again, she's the host of this, so she'll be posting about it not only on her personal page, and you can get to know her better there, but then you can also go to the actual Her Style Instagram handle to know specifically just about all of the events that they've done in the past and what they're doing in the future and getting ready for Belize. So make sure you check them out, check her out. And again, I would love to see you all there because I'm going to be there teaching and speaking. There's going to be so many fun activities that we're going to do. It's at a beautiful resort. It's going to be so awesome. So I hope to see you guys there. And again, this totally aligns with everything the Abundance Formula, which is why they are one of our key sponsors for the Abundance Formula event. So make sure to grab your Abundance Formula event ticket. It's happening November 5, 2022. It goes from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Make sure you get that ticket, you guys. There's limited seating available, so don't miss it. You can get your ticket at www.oldhamstrong.com/the Abundance Formula event. And again, make sure to check out Her Style as one of our key sponsors of the event. Today's powerhouse guest is Christy Neller, and she is a mother, reinvention strategist, empowerment and mindset coach, artist, designer, and creative analyst for companies, teams, and individuals looking to transform their impact, messaging, mindset, and lives. She's also an inspirational speaker, international best-selling author, and host of the Hell Yes podcast, which focuses on living your best life on your own terms. So no matter what the channel, Christy works closely with clients to identify their roadblocks, zero in on their unique essence and soul, inspire creative action, and build an intentional roadmap to breathe life into any vision. Every facet of her work strives to help unlock possibility and is rooted in creative thinking, collaboration, community, intention, and self-expression. Relying on the dynamic process and principles of design, her deep belief that creativity always saves the day, she helps clients to create a safe space for ideas to grow, voices to raise, joy and play to resume, and intentional action to flow with ease. Her mission is to help people find their golden thread to create, reinvent, test, and rebound like a boss and ultimately grow in confidence to find their voice and boldly live it out. So what a perfect guest for the Abundance Formula podcast. I mean, with that bio, it's absolutely perfect. And I really love how we dive into, in this episode, things surrounding creativity specifically and the design process and play and getting back to your childlike roots, because that's absolutely huge. And she has really creative ways of tapping into these things, being an artist by nature. And so she's got some really great techniques to actually do that and to scientifically create new space in your mind for creativity, seeing your vision more clearly and things like that. So this is a really great episode. Let's get to it. Okay, everybody, welcome back to the Abundance Formula Podcast. I'm so excited for today's guest. Her name's Christy Neller. And wow, I'm just excited because her whole bio is literally everything like that this podcast is about and what I know you guys love to hear and get tips and tricks and just advice for. So she's just going to be the perfect guest to help teach you all today. So today's going to be just packed full of awesomeness. I just know it. So thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to connect with you.
Yeah. Well, so let's go ahead and start out with by telling everybody about yourself, who you are, what you do, and some of your backstory and sort of how you've arrived at where you are today.
Sure. So, I was born in the Midwest in Kansas and had this drive my entire life to lead a creative career. And so I followed that dream all the way through college. I moved to Rhode Island and went to Rhode Island School of Design, studied graphic design, then started my career in Boston, met my husband. He talked me into moving to New York. And then I kept moving up the ladder and was a creative director in New York running branding and brand strategy for multi-million dollar companies. It was really intense and sometimes as glamorous as it sounds, but most of the time just really intense. And I found that I ended up in burnout without knowing that term. And I got married, got pregnant, had my child, and was like, there is no way I can keep sustaining this career and raise children. And so I took a break. And I just ended up doing a lot of creative endeavors. Then I started hosting events and building branded events for companies and friends and all kinds of things. And it just sort of like took me down this other path. But all along, I knew that I had this feeling of when I was a creative director, the thing that I loved most was mentoring the junior designers and really engaging with my customers and my other creatives and really developing a sense of community and helping get the design out in an empathetic way that resonated with people. So it was really about impact and message and all of these things. Now, fast forward a little bit, my daughter grew up to her age, like at the time she was in kindergarten. We decided to move cross country from New York and landed in California. And she got interested in softball, and I started coaching softball for her. And I went in as an assistant coach because, you know, it's like you volunteer, and they were like, psych, you're going to be the head coach. And I'm like, oh my God. So for the first couple of years, it was like herding cats and it was fun and all of that. But she really started liking it. So I became her head coach all the way through. She's 12 now. And she really started loving it. And so a couple of years ago, I was sort of trying to figure out what the next evolution of my career was. And she was moving into a more competitive space. And they invited me to be an assistant coach on her competitive softball team. And I stayed in the dugout and I worked on mindset with these 10-year-old girls, 9 and 10-year-old girls. And it was one of the most rewarding experiences of my entire life. And I thought, oh my gosh, do I have to go back and get like a sports coaching degree? Like what? I want to do this with my life. But what I realized is it sparked this long love of mentorship, impact, confidence building, how to live a creative life in a way that you don't see things as obstacles, you see them as challenges that help you get to the next level. And it led me into life coaching. And so I got my life coaching certification. And so now I run a podcast. I life coach. I recently wrote a co-authored book with 21 other authors. And I go into big companies and I help them get the creative process flowing, either through building teamwork and mentorship within their programs, or just helping them with projects saying, okay, let's think out of the box. Let's not get stuck where you were. Let's grow. And so it kind of came full circle because I grew up playing softball and I thought that that was gone when I left and went to art school. I had to make a choice. And it's really interesting how it's come back full circle. And I've been able to use that across all these platforms.
So, I love that. That's so awesome. Well, so one thing that you do with your clients is, you know, you were telling me that you kind of help them identify their roadblocks and zero in on their unique essence and soul and help inspire this creative action and build on an intentional roadmap to breathe life into their vision. So how do you go about doing that for each of these things? What does that kind of look like when you're coaching someone through those things?
Yeah, well, it takes a different life of its own depending on what the client needs. But as a foundational part, what I found, and this blew my mind when I went to get my coaching certification because I thought, oh my God, I'm shifting my career and this is going to be different. When I went through that training, I realized that the steps to help someone realize their vision and to help them coach them through life was almost identical to the design process that I had been employing to bring brands' visions to life for the past two decades. And that blew my mind because I thought, oh my God, I thought I was jumping off into a whole new place. But really, when you look at your life or any project you want to bring to fruition, you look at you put yourself in the end, right? You put yourself in the goal. And you don't just put yourself in the goal like, I want it to look like this. You want to feel a certain way. When you can attach yourself to that feeling, then you are more likely to get to that place. And that's what we did with art projects and design projects is we wanted to say, what's the outcome we want to have? And then we start to backtrack steps that can get us there and you know, get really intentional. So I do the same thing with clients. I say, you know, let's step into the future. What do you want to have? Where do you want to be? How do you want to feel? Who do you want to be? And once we do that, then we can say, okay, let's start thinking about what's the next tiny step you can get to get there. And a lot of the times, and this is part of the design process too, the way to get to your biggest success is the process of iteration. So like say when I was a packaging designer, when you go and shop and you see packages on the shelf, that package has been through 300 different rounds to get to where it is. The shape has probably changed, the way it's communicated has changed, the color has changed, the way, you know, whether there was a photo on it or a drawing on it, or, you know, how many translations need to be on it. There, you know, how does it function? What is the out of box experience when you open the package? It's all thought out and it's through iteration. And what I learned really early in my design career is you cannot figure things out unless you make a mock-up, unless you make a physical piece that looks like the end result that you want to have, because you learn what works, you learn what doesn't work, you learn, you know, what could be a little better. It sparks some innovation. You think, ooh, maybe there's a flap, maybe there's this. And it's the exact same thing with life. If we don't get messy and put things out there, we have no feedback. We have no way to know how to get it better and how to improve on it or even innovate. It also, if we don't start just putting things out there, we have no way of actually looking at a process and going, that doesn't work. Let's try something better. And so it's this iterative process. So that's part of the roadmap. And a lot of people get in their own way because they just want to have the outcome. They just want to have the success. They don't want to go through the, you know, they're fearful of looking stupid or being a failure, but all of that is juicy. It's actually part of the process that gets you to the end result. And if we can step into that and say, okay, that's just part of the process, we can take the emotion out of it and it's not so scary.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's so good. What about for people who, because I know I've heard this a lot with people who are coming to my event and they're saying, you know, that they just felt need help with the fact that maybe they just like, they used to be highly driven and aspirational, but now they just don't feel like they have a vision for anything, or they don't feel like they have a passion for anything.
how do you help people like that to feel kind of in the burnout where they're like, I don't even know what I'm passionate about anymore. I don't know how to even start with what do I want my end result to look like to even work my way backwards?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so many people struggle with it. And it's actually not that different from another question, which is, I like so many things. How do I pick just one? They're actually really similar, because what it's saying is like, I am stuck in indecision and I am like, I cannot get an idea. And so what I often do with people, so with my life coaching, we step into a little more of the spiritual side of things too. And, you know, we start journaling prompts, we start a meditation practice. You know, I do a practice called the Soul Recode, which is sort of gets you to the same place as transcendental meditation, but really rapidly. And it just, people don't give themselves time and space to pause and listen for what's next. So I like to say prayer is asking, meditation is listening for the answer. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, a lot of clients who come at that level are in burnout, or they are running so fast, or they're so invested in what the outcome needs to be. I need to make money. I need to be successful. I need to do, you know, X, Y, and Z. It needs to look like this, that they're not sitting quietly enough to listen to what is there already. The second part of that. So that's my first thing. And that, you know, kind of puts people off a little bit, because they're like, no, I'm a doer. I don't have time for this sitting around and listening. That's passive. And I would argue that that's actually super active. Mm-hmm. And we need it. We cannot be creative without filling that cup back up. So that's the first thing. The second thing in that process is going back and thinking about, and this sounds too simple and it might sound cliche, but going back and thinking about, what did I really enjoy when I was a kid? What came to me easily? What was I doing when I lost sense of time and space and, you know, all of that? And, you know, we think that that is really frivolous and like, oh, I was just a kid, but there are nuggets and clues in that. So let's say you love to draw. That doesn't mean all of a sudden you need to be an artist or even draw. What it says is, I liked to use my hands. I liked to spend time creating. I had imagination. I liked the storytelling aspect. There's all of these nuggets that you can take from that simple act. It doesn't have to be translated like, oh, I like to draw, I need to be an artist, or, you know, that. And I think we as humans take things so literally that we could go back and we look at that and we go, that can't possibly, you know, how could I, here in my later second half of life, all of a sudden go and do this thing that I liked as a child? But the answer is, you can, and you have to just be open to what it looks like now. Mm-hmm. And those little nuggets can drive these other places. The third part of that is, I mean, there's so many things, so many ways I can go here, but the third part that I just want to hit on is that we have to allow ourselves the permission to go down those spaces, the permission to be messy, the permission to be a beginner, and the permission to go and explore things that maybe we think are not moving us forward, but they might be the essential thing that moves us forward. So that the sense of openness and open-mindedness to allow the universe to speak to our soul. And I have to just say at this moment, after I said that, the fact that I even say things like that now is so vastly different than the person I used to be, right? I used to think that this sort of woo-woo magic, give yourself space, was a little bit on the weak side, right? Because I was a doer. And so I feel very akin when people come and say, I don't know what, I don't know how, and it's just not possible. Because I was in that space, even though I was successful, I was in that space in terms of like finding my why, finding my passion, you know, getting there. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. And your story is such a perfect true testament to what's possible for people to just remember a couple things. That number one, like you said, it doesn't have to be so literal. Like, you were always creative. Obviously, that translated very literally and clearly to doing design. But then, and that brought you success, but really the next level success that you needed both in your heart and in all the other ways of your life was not design in that sense, but helping people design their life and design their company and design children and, you know what I mean? And design mindset, like design didn't have to be to the home or to the logo or, to, you know what right. I mean? And so it's just, yeah. Again, people get too literal to think or limiting on what this thing they feel passion towards has to look one way or down one path. And just like, there's so many things that are possible. And if you've started down a path too, I think people often get discouraged when they get to the place that you were, like you were down the design path and you were in that career. And then when it's not it, they're like, oh gosh, I've just wasted all this life of mine. I've wasted all this education and all this stuff. And like, how perfect of your story to show like, all of that wasn't wasted. In fact, that was the ammo you needed to start making these nice, tangible connections to create a formula for other people to make their dream life or their dream company or their dream outcome happen by following the design process. Like you said, and just little breakthroughs of explaining to people, like most people don't know when they get a box. Like I didn't know that when you get a box, it's been through however many different iterations of what that box and that experience was like and that packaging and all the things that surrounded that one Amazon box that you got, that to you was just, you ordered it and you're getting it, right? And that's just so huge for people to hear as a breakthrough, to be like, you know, what this end outcome you see of other people that maybe you're aspiring for and you think you're just this outlier of a screw up or like it's not for you, because you would need all these iterations of it to make it happen. Well, that's exactly what everybody else is doing. You just don't see all the behind the scenes most of the time. And that's why I love this podcast, because it's giving people the behind the scenes to see what that abundance, how someone got there. And it's exactly the kind of things you're experiencing, and you're not alone. You're not dumb, you know, and you can totally do it too. So I think your story is such a great example. And I loved all the details that you threw in there of how you saw the relation between design and making your visions become reality. And so one thing I loved, because I know you were telling me about this earlier, that you love with your strategies to not only revolve around creating a safe place for creativity and joy, but you also mentioned play. And I'm curious what you do to help people get back to play. Because like we were both talking earlier, we think childhood is such a huge clue to this end outcome we're all searching for. And we get distracted along the path by external inputs that maybe weren't good ones, whether on purpose or inadvertent, that muddle the vision, the real vision that was planted in the start that was so clear as children. And if we were allowed to just bloom without all the, you know, the thorns and the other things that added to our garden and the weeds, you know, so how do we get back to that childhood play? Because like you mentioned, you have to feel it too. And so even as an adult, you can think back to your childhood, but until you really take yourself there in thought and in feeling, it's hard to get the breakthrough. So how do you do that with people to get them truly back to that childhood play?
Oh my God. I love this question. I love it. Okay. So are you ready? Because I am ready. Okay. The first thing I want to say is that adults have forgotten how to play.
Yes.
And they've forgotten how to be creative. And my biggest pet peeve, I have a lot of pet peeves, but my biggest one is when someone tells me that they're not creative, because it means that they don't fully understand what creativity is. Okay. So yes, I'm blessed with the skill of being able to do a painting or design or whatever, but that is an expression of creativity. That is something that you can learn. Creativity is a way of being. It's a way of showing up and seeing the world, that everything has innate potential. The way you interact with your best friend, that's creative. You have created a space that is fun and full of laughter, and maybe you shop together and, you know, whatever, you brunch together, whatever that is creating. And so I start with trying to get people back to understanding that being creative is innately just creating something that didn't exist a moment ago. When you put on an outfit in the morning, you have just created something that didn't exist a few moments ago. Everyone is innately creative. I would even argue that people who are in finance who fight me on, I'm just not a creative person, they understand numbers in a creative way. They work a budget in a way that I could never dream of working a budget. Like, that is creative. Okay, so I just have to start there because I truly 100% believe this. And my life mantra is that creativity always saves the day. So no matter what we're up against, if we can get out of our head into our heart and let that flow through our hands, we can solve that problem. Mm-hmm. We can solve it. And it may not look how you wanted it to, but we can solve it. So when I'm working with a client to get them back into play, I have so many fun exercises because I am creating all the time. And I will say that having kids come into the mix also helps your repertoire of fun and creative exercises because the things I'm doing with my kids can translate to adults. And to be honest, you know, I was talking about that coaching with these 10 and 11 year olds and how that actually inspired me to go and help like midlife women who are up against like transitions in their life, right? Like they're going through a divorce, they're empty nesters, they stayed at home with their kids and now they're going back to work. They had a corporate career and they want an entrepreneurship career. Like those kinds of things were the same as the things those 10 and 11 year old girls were going through, right? And what I would like to do is not have them go down a path where they get to the burnout and they can't figure out what's going on and want to come back and revamp. So I've got these two places that are very similar there that we think that's a lifetime away, but actually down to the bare essential, if we just get back to our hearts and our playfulness, we know the answers. The answers are inside of us. We're just clouding it with the would-haves, should-haves, could-haves, the expectations of society and our loved ones and our friends. So if we want to get tactical about some of the things, there's an exercise that I do with a lot of my clients where, and it's a pretty fun exercise. You can do it online, you can do it in person, but, and this is for people who don't draw, it's not about skill, but like I would look directly at you, you would look directly at me, and we'd have our pen on the paper and we would draw each other without ever picking our pen up or looking at the paper. And the drawing that comes out in the beginning looks like a garbled mess. And that's exactly what it's supposed to do. But if you do it 5 times, 10 times, all of a sudden, the key features of the person you're looking at start to emerge. You see a big earring, you see glasses, you see the gesture. And what it does is it captures the gesture of what you're looking at. And it starts to create new neural pathways in our brain that allows us to see things differently, that allows us to not look at something that comes to us and just say, you know, take it for what it is, but to say, okay, and this is one of my mantras, okay, universe, I'm open to seeing this differently. And we don't realize the mind-body connection. So when you do something physically like that with your hand, it's actually opening space in your mind. So that's one fun one. You know, I do things like fast word associations. So we just do lists and we bubble them out and we, you know, do fun things like that. And then I should share here that there's a thing that I guess it's an art piece. I don't know how to capture it, but it's a experience that I do with my kids every New Year's Eve. So I don't know if you do the practice of picking like a guiding word for the year and do that. So I do that. But a few years ago, we moved from New York to San Francisco. My daughter was in kindergarten and my son was a baby. And we got here and it was New Year's Eve. Like we moved just shortly before that. We had no furniture in our house because all of our furniture was still at our old house. We had no friends. We got in a car accident. My husband had some health issues. It was dire. And we're sitting there on New Year's Eve watching the New York ball drop on this TV that was I brought at the house we were renting. There was a table outside. I brought that in and set the TV on that. It was so sad. And we're watching it. We're all sad. And we were like, oh my God, we have to do something. So my husband and I sat down and thought, what can we do? We've got these little kids. What are we doing? So we're the kind of family who does have art supplies with us. We may not have furniture, but we have art supplies. And so we were like, let's make an art piece together. Let's co-create an art piece together. But let's pick a word. And this is before I was picking a word for myself. I hadn't even heard of that practice. But he and I were like, why don't we pick a word or a phrase that we all can get around this year, make an art piece, we'll hang it on the wall. It'll be like our family mantra. So we did that. So we chose Be Courageous. And he took painter's tape and he wrote Be Courageous out of painter's tape. And then because my kids were little, we just got some paint and paintbrushes and we all just went wild and crazy. And then he pulled the tape off and then it says Be Courageous. We hung it on the wall. And for that entire year of being in a new place, making new friends, you know, overcoming all of these hardships that we had, my kids would walk by that picture every day. They'd throw their fist up in the air and they'd say, Be Courageous, because it was right by the front door. And it was so empowering. And now we do that every New Year's Eve. And the idea behind that is we stepped into creativity, we stepped into play, we stepped into just fun and connection together. And it just opened this door. And every single year that we do it, we create a new art piece. So our walls are full of these art pieces and we get to remember our journey. And my kids are really into it. And I think that that's a great practice for an adult to do with themselves, with their family. You do it, you can do it for your business, any goal that you want, sit down and like just create. And our goal there wasn't that the end result is going to be beautiful. It was the process of making the piece and connecting with ourselves. So, you know, I could list 50 more, but there it's just about getting outside of yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that. Those were just two really great ideas. And again, the concept of that, even in reality, scientifically, like bringing it from mind and doing it physically opens up, like you said, neural pathways and truly can help you open and create more space. So that's huge for people to think about, because we just do get so buried deep in our heads that we forget to come out, and especially to come out with fun and not be afraid to look silly or to be silly or to just go wild with something. You know, that's just such a higher vibration to show up as. And we just get so used to just kind of showing up on a level plane and not making any waves. And so it's like, if you really want to create change, then make a wave and it's going to see what happens. If you're really wanting something to change in your life, then make a wave. And it can start with something as simple as scribbling out some paint. And that's your first action step to just creating, you know, throwing a stone into that very plain water and creating something. So I love those tips.
Yeah.
We kind of touched on this a little bit earlier about, you know, creating silence. And, you know, one thing some listeners have also asked about, and people that are coming to the event, is like, how can they work on either slowing down, or, you know, their brain and the distractions in their brain, and also to silence like the doubt or the demons or the negativity. Like that's how it was described to me from some of the people. It's like the demons in your head that are putting you down or planting self-doubt and creating distractions and chaos. So you can find that silence to get those breakthroughs and to try to see your vision more clearly. How do you help people with that process?
Yeah. So two things there. The first thing is I guide them through an exercise where we ask, is it true? Do you know that thing that you are thinking, that demon thought, I'm not good enough, I could never do this, I don't have enough knowledge, whatever those are, ask yourself, do I know that to be 100% true? 100% without a doubt. And the odds are, if you get really real with yourself, you cannot say with 100%, because then you go, well, what if you took a little class? Or, you know, what if you had someone who helped you? What if you know, you start adding all these things in. So you know that someone can't answer with 100% certainty that those terrible things are true. If you cannot answer with 100% certainty, then you look at it and go, okay, well, what is the opposite? So I have them reframe it to whatever it's saying, like, I'm not good enough. You reframe that and say, I have everything I need to be successful. So we take the thought and we literally flip it to the opposite and we tell ourselves that, because our brains are wired to tell ourselves the negative. Our ego is in place to protect us, and fear comes in. And once fear comes in, that's scary. That is actually very scary for us. And we talk about like these emotions as resourceful or unresourceful. So there are some emotions that are just unresourceful. Shame, there's just no resourceful reason to have shame. Guilt, not really helpful in any way. But fear has a resourceful side. So we can't look at it and say, I want to eradicate fear. I don't want to be fearless. I want to be fearful and do it anyway. So how do I get through that? How do I work through that process? So with fear, one of those things is you ask it, am I going to die from this? No. Okay, I'm not going to die from this. Okay, now I know that that's okay. Because we know that fear comes to protect us, right? So if we have some empathy for fear, it's just trying to protect us. So we don't want to hate it and push it away. What we do is we embrace it. We thank it for showing up and say, but I'm going to choose differently. I'm going to carry you, fear, with me, but you don't get to be in the driver's seat. You don't get to be the voice in my head. You don't get to say it. And so when we start to shift the way we look at fear, instead of something that we need to run away from or get rid of, and embrace it and bring it into our being and say, you're just part of it. You're part of this process. And I know you're trying to protect me, but it's not serving me. And so I will make a different choice. Then we become empowered to quiet those voices and tell them to take the back seat. You can come along, but you have to sit in the back seat. You cannot drive this car. And I think that that becomes really empowering. And I think you and I talked about it earlier when we were chatting, in that idea of, if we let the fear drive us, we won't take the action. And so, and mental training, mental toughness. And I know you talk like that a lot about the mental resistance training, right? That is a process of quieting that chatter, listening to the opposite. And so, I mean, it's just as easy as when a negative thought pops into my head, I literally snap and say, okay, what's the exact opposite of that thought? And it's still a process. I mean, it's funny because when you become a coach, people think, oh, you've got it all together. And I'm like, I don't have it together at all. What I have are the tools to work through things. And I still face every single challenge. And I'm still fighting my own, you know, limiting beliefs and upper limit problems and all kinds of things. But I'm open and willing enough to be with it and sit with it. And, you know, sometimes it feels really hokey to say the opposite, you know, like, oh, I'm always a failure. Well, what's the opposite? I am a raging success. Okay, that sounds ridiculous. You know, you're like, okay, but we have to go a little bit bigger to start practicing the positives. We're so accustomed to saying the negatives. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. I love that. And I liked how you even just said that you know, snap your fingers. Cause again, it brings back into taking the concept you're trying to relearn in your head and bringing it into a reality. I've heard like Gabby Bernstein talk a lot about that. You know, if you've got some negative thought, do something physical with the verb shift, with the flip, to snap you almost into a state change. And Tony Robbins talks about that all the time. You got to change your state. So if you need to snap your fingers and it kind of like gets you out of just this stagnant place where you're thinking these ruminating thoughts, or if it's, you need to pat your heart, or you need to stand up and do some jumping jacks or do some push-ups and get your blood flowing and or go outside, like literally change your state. No, don't just think the thoughts, because your body's got to get moving to change and just give all the tools to shift your mindset elsewhere. And it can really help, you know, open up more space for a better thought and a thought that's totally also attainable. You know, our bodies and our minds will basically do to the level that we believe it can. And so that's a huge piece that I think is really important for people. What would you say, with all the people that you've worked with, what are maybe some of the most common roadblocks that hold people back from living out their calling?
Oh, yeah. Well, there are so many, because like I said, we have to work to be positive beings. We have to work to tell ourselves that we're good enough. But one of the biggest things is worthiness. And that sometimes is a big shocker. And when I, so a lot of what I teach now or I coach through now is from going through personal experiences of overcoming some of those things. And not everything, right? Because once you sort of do that, you have the formula and you can kind of help people. But I think one of the biggest things is a lack of worthiness and a lack of self-trust. And so, like I said before, I was highly successful. I was mother. I was, you know, running all of these things. And I had this epiphany. I had this big like blowout with my husband, an argument. And at the end of that argument, the download, the drop in, the crazy epiphany I had was like, oh my God, this is stemming from a lack of self-trust. I don't trust myself and I'm projecting that onto him. And I was floored because I was like, how can I not have self-trust? How can I have worthiness issues? That's for people who like can't function in society. That's for people who are like rocking in the corner or like, you know, need to be put in an institution like that. That is not for a highly functioning, successful person, you know? And I was floored and I literally couldn't come to terms with that fact, but it was right in front of my face and it made so much sense. And I had lived up until that point, my life was sort of in silos. So it was like, oh, my career's really successful. My relationship is struggling a little bit. Oh, my personal life is, I put on hold for this goal and this drive. And in that moment, I realized that actually they're all sifting into the same bucket, but when you're having like trouble with self-trust, it plays out in different ways in those different silos. So like, you know, with my personal life, maybe I would ruminate over a decision and not be able to make a decision and go back and forth and waffle. I'd make a decision and then I'd backtrack it. And then, you know, and that is just so devastating when you're in that process. You're like, oh my God, just make a decision. What is wrong with you? Or, you know, or professionally, a lack of self-trust might be, I got to a certain level in my career and I couldn't see how I would get to the next level. It wasn't a possibility to me. And that was a self-trust thing, you know, with my parenting, you know, I would worry that I was hurting my children mentally, or I made the wrong decision, or I should have sent them to that birthday party, or I should have left. I mean, even the littlest things, right? And you think, holy crap, like this is playing out everywhere. And I thought it was just in this one silo. And so I would say, you know, me included, the biggest thing that I see across the board is people having a lack of worthiness. And that could come from anything. That doesn't have to be like, oh, I wasn't taken care of properly as a child or anything like that. It can come in at any point in your life. And when I see clients step into that and say yes to themselves and allow themselves to have permission to move forward in a way that's authentic to themselves and trust that they know what they're doing, even if it doesn't look right on paper or doesn't make sense or their family members balk at it, that's when we've made some strides forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Is there something that you did so that you could finally get that trust in yourself, especially as you're shifting into a new industry? You know, you had to do it without, you know, you have to take the first steps without knowing what you're doing. How did you just take the, like, just tell yourself, I just have to start moving and see what happens and I'll gain confidence through that? Or how did you finally push through your own personal
thing? Yeah, I did a bunch of things because I was freaked out about it. I was like, oh my God, I had this epiphany and I need to like figure it out. But the first thing I did is I seeked mentorship. And I found a high tribe vibe or a high vibe tribe that would lift me up and have those really high level conversations and hold me accountable, because it's very easy to identify something and then sort of like talk yourself out of it or find a way that that's not true. You know, you find validation in whatever you believe, and surrounding yourself with like high vibe people who are having a different level conversation allows you to rise above that chatter and to work on those things. It also creates a safe space where you can dig into these kind of messy things and explore them. So what would happen is I would have these calls and I would say things and do things that I would have never shared with another person. Those were the parts of me that I didn't like. And by having a space where I could do that, I learned, and this was a big one, I learned that I had to love all the parts of me, even the ones that I didn't like. I had to learn to have empathy for them. I had to learn to understand that that's part of me. Now, I'm not going to let them drive the bus and become a horrible person or whatever, but I'm going to have empathy for where they came from. And once I shine the light on it, there's no more shame or guilt about it. We can heal that. And so that was one of the big steps, is just finding a space and people who could help me not be stuck in the depths of my own ruminating. Because I am an overthinker, 100%, and a perfectionist. I'm a recovering perfectionist.
Yeah.
So those two things can really keep you isolated and in this box where you're like, I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. I'll never be good enough. What was I thinking? You know, those are the gremlins that come in and steal mm-hmm. our joy.
Yeah. I love that. I loved how you pointed out, like, if you don't feel like you already have that community there in person, with technology today, there's really no excuse to not be able to find that supportive tribe. And I want people to know there's also free versions of that. You know what I mean? Like, people think, oh, well, shoot, I don't have the money to pay some coach to mentor me. Like, Christy and I've met through doing a free podcast webinar just to learn some more stuff about podcasting, and any place that has any company that's putting on a free training or a webinar or a boot camp or whatever, that's totally free. They're going to create a Facebook group around it so that people can join in and connect and network. And there you are. Now you've just not only joined a webinar of something you're interested in or something passionate about or curious or sounds fun, whatever it may be. Now you're in a Facebook group. Now the people in this group are interested in what you're interested in or have similar aspirations or struggle with the same. You know, there's groups and webinars about all kinds of things. If you're trying to work out of a struggle, there's going to be something about that. And so there's your tribe. And then you connect like we have, and you message, you become friends. And how can we up-level each other? And you can create that tribe for yourself. And it doesn't even have to cost you anything except for your comfort zone, you know?
Yep. That's it. And, you know, I would say that it's vulnerability, because that's actually how you and I met. We were in this giant group. I mean, it was like thousands of people in that group, right? How did we come and find each other? Because we got vulnerable. One of us posted something that resonated with the other, but we were telling our story, and somebody else came in, you know, and said, hey, that resonates with me. I'd like to talk to you more. And then you develop a friendship. And so, you know, the people that I'm talking about, that is all free. Like those people, we do a weekly call, and it's specifically to air out what is in our way from our entrepreneurial journey. And it started out that way, but I'll tell you, and you know this from physical therapy, healing the physical therapy is also the spiritual and mental game that you got to heal to get to the other thing, right? And it was the same with that. You go in for one thing, entrepreneurial journey, and you're like, oh, wait, let's talk about my healing. Let's talk about that roadblock. Let's talk about, why did I end up like that in this situation? That was so shocking. And what you'll find is that when you align with people who are vibrating at a higher level, they can see things for you that you can't see for yourself. Mm-hmm. And it is invaluable. It is invaluable to have that kind of sisterhood or, you know, friend base or, you know, whatever. And you're right. I love that you pointed that out. It doesn't have to cost you a thing. Mm-hmm. And what it does cost is vulnerability, courage, and taking messy action and just saying, I don't have the answers. I'm just going to go do this thing. Mm-hmm. And that's scary for people, but that is the key to getting any level of up level, I would say.
Love that. Well, tell us about not only all the things that you've got going on, you know, make sure that people know not only where to find you, follow you, what things you have coming up. I know you've got programs. You can talk about that one-on-one. And also this book, that did it just come out recently? Tell everyone the title of this book and all the
things. Oh, yeah. So the book came out at the end of last year, but like we were saying, like putting yourself out there in a new way then opens new doors, and being playful attracts new things. So that was my first, I've loved to write for a long time, but that was my first sort of putting my words out there in a real book. And so I collaborated with 20 other authors. It's called Authentic, Rewriting, Courageous Humans Who Rewrote Their Stories. Mm-hmm. And it's really an account of overcoming things. So mine in particular was about the power of surrender and the power of having success not look the way you thought it was going to look, which was a huge lesson for me. So I am now launching a new book that's under my podcast title, The Hell Yes Habit, and it will be similar with multiple authors. And so I'm starting to launch that program. So what that will be is the authors can contribute. I can help coach them in writing, help coach them in getting out of their blocks, because a lot of people who are just coming to the idea of writing or not even knew that they wanted to write, it seems like a hurdle, but it's actually fairly simple to write a chapter. And so that's one of the big projects I'm launching at the beginning of the year. And then I'm just heading into season two of my podcast and looking at developing that a little bit bigger scale, a little bit more focused on creativity and creative actions for success. And with that, I'm opening a new program, probably, I don't have the date for it yet, but in the next couple of months, a new up-level program for sort of what we were talking about, like the business bestie kind of thing, but kind of at a higher level. So we have a curriculum and everything in there. But yeah, and then there's the one-on-one coaching and all of that. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'll make sure I have all of that in my show notes, the link to your website, so they can check out all the things. I'll put the link to the current book that you have and your podcast, because it's amazing. I love it. And all of those things. Well, to close out, I want to ask my question I ask everybody, and it's what living an abundant life means to you. And if someone were to ask you how they could start to build an abundant life for themselves, what would you tell them?
Oh gosh, living an abundant life to me is being unapologetically authentic and stepping into your own version of freedom. And I think that involves believing that you can and believing that it's already here for you. So I believe that freedom is something you take, mm-hmm. and we have to step into that. And I guess for someone to, you know, what was the other one? Piece of advice?
Just how they can start to build an abundant life themselves.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's get out of your own way and step into being messy and really be okay with that beginner mentality. Because for a long time, I held myself stuck because I didn't want people to think I didn't know what I was doing. But once I just stepped into it and said, I'm a beginner at this. I'm a new coach. I just had this new thing happen. I just started writing, all of these things, the abundance flowed in. And when you step into fun and play and pleasure, like we said, and that all is from the fountain of creativity, you attract more of all those things. And as you attract more of all those things, your life becomes more expansive, more abundant, more beautiful, you know, and you have empathy for some of the other things that actually held you back before, and they don't have a hold on you anymore. And that to me is truly abundant.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope that you love this episode and that it was able to help you move in the right direction towards building the life that you want. If you take just a quick moment to leave us a positive 5-star review, I'd be so, so grateful, and share with any friends that you think would love it. This not only helps spread the mission of this podcast, but it helps to open the door to even more amazing guests and opportunities to better support you in amplifying your success and overflowing your cup with abundance. Thanks again, guys, and catch you on the next one.